Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Cocktails and Conversation. I'm your host, Erica, and with me in the studio this morning is my co-host, Robin. You can catch us broadcasting live each and every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to check out our blog for more information at www.cocktailsconversation.com. You can also like us at Facebook at www.facebook.com/cocktailsandconversation with an S. So, happy 2015. Woohoo! Robin, did you have a nice holiday?
I had a great holiday. How about you?
I had an awesome holiday. Can't complain. It was nice and quiet, just the way I like it. Did you guys do anything special this holiday?
Not at all. I sat on the couch. I got in the bed. Then I sat back on the couch again.
Found the couch, got in the bed, and sat back on the couch again. I like that. I like that. Now, what about for New Year's Eve? Did you guys do anything special for New Year's Eve?
No, I actually, worked on New Year's Eve. I worked on New Year's Eve. So by the time I got home, you know, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't feel like driving anywhere. So, again, right there on that couch.
You know what?
It was a restful holiday.
Good. You know what? And those are always nice.
Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I was pretty restful, too. My neighbors next door, they had a little New Year's Eve party. My husband wasn't feeling well, so it was just me and Mini-Me that went over there for a couple hours and drank and ate, and the girls played, and then we came home and toasted the New Year as a family. So it was nice.
Very cool. Now, are you a rocking New Year's Eve watcher?
Well, you know what? Ever since Dick Clark had, you know, taken the EO and Ryan Seacrest took over, I stopped watching it. It just wasn't the same. So,
okay. But
we did see Taylor Swift. Everybody at the party that we were at, they're avid Taylor Swift fans, and I do like her song "Shake It Off." So, we did watch Taylor Swift, but that was about it. What about yourself? Did you watch Dick Clark's "Rockin' New Year's Eve" with Ryan Seacrest?
Well, I didn't watch all of it. We were watching, I don't remember, there was a football game on, I don't remember which one. So we were, watching that. But when the ball dropped, I did turn to the station just because it's so, I guess, traditional in our family.
Mm-hmm.
We always have watched the ball drop. But I wasn't too into it, I have to say.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's age?
Could be. Then I stayed up a little bit after and watched Pitbull was on the other station. So I watched him, but yeah, not impressed too much. It was, yeah. Mm-mm. I'd rather watch football.
Now, outside of watching the ball drop down in Times Square, does Bakersfield do anything special to signify the end of one year, the beginning of a new year? Do they have a special drop or countdown?
No. Come on, girl. No. Mm-mm. If they do, I don't know anything about it, but I'm going to say no. I think I've shared this with you before, but there's a pretty large DUI driving here in Bakersfield. So that's the big concern, is making sure people are safe getting home, and that there's, you know, taxi cabs and, well, now Uber and all of that available, so people don't have to drive themselves home. That was the major thing that I could see.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering why a lot of people drink and drive there in Bakersfield. All that dust and stuff, I don't know.
Because there ain't nothing else to do.
But drink.
Sit at home and get washed.
You're funny. Well, here in Atlanta, I do know that we have the Peach Drop, so which, you know, is in the heart of Atlanta. So if you guys are familiar with Atlanta, it's where the Underground is at, which is a popular, you know, tourist attraction here in the ATL. And then someone told me that the city of Decatur does a corn dog drop. Now, I'm searching online to see if I can find that. I'm trying to figure out what is the history of the corn dog drop. But, and again, I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard. But, yeah, so we have the Peach Drop here.
So when you say the corn dog drop, and I know you don't know the history, does that mean there's a big corn dog and it falls down, or do they throw corn dog? I don't get it.
I have no idea. You know what? When I heard it, I just pictured a big corn dog with, like, ketchup and mustard on it, just, you know, dropping from the sky. So,
oh,
I don't know.
Very
I don't know. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting, too. But I'll have to do some more research to figure out what this whole corn dog thing is. Maybe kids eat corn dogs. I don't know. We'll have to figure this one out. Now, with, you know, New Year comes, New Year's resolutions, you know, a lot of people, you know, looking at my friends' Facebook pages and on Twitter and Instagram and everything, you know, folks are, you know, writing out or proclaiming their resolutions for 2015. Are you a big resolutions girl? And if so, what are some of your resolutions for the new year?
I am not a huge revolutions person. Because I believe that if you want to do something new, whether it's August or whether it's, you know, November, you should go ahead and do it. You don't have to wait for a new year. I just always try and be a better person, always try and do greater things and seek more knowledge. But as far as setting an actual resolution, I haven't done that in years. And, you know, there would only be the typical ones. I want to lose weight. I want to travel or, you know, stuff like that. Nothing concrete. But I am a huge vision board person. But, again, that's just not because it's January. I'll do that any time of the year. So, yeah, but, man, no new resolutions to me because I don't really do them. How about you?
I'm not a big resolutions person either, but I am a one-word person. I think we've talked about this before in previous years. I've been doing this for a while where I pick a word, or really a word just comes to me, and I kind of, you know, focus on that word for the year. And the word for 2015 is do. Just do it. And, you know, kind of piggyback off of what you were saying. You know, if there's something that, you know, you want to accomplish, just do it. So do is my word for 2015. I will be focusing on it, setting my intentions to just do things that I talk about but never actually put action behind it. So this is the year of putting some action behind it.
Erica's going to be busy, y'all.
Well, but you know what? I'll tell you this. Selecting the word do, I have been very intentional on what I am focusing on. So you know how sometimes you just kind of throw a whole bunch of stuff out there and say, I want to do this, I want to do that. And, you know that it's just too much. There's not enough hours in a day for you to do everything or, you know, not enough time within the 365 days that we have in this year to do it. So I'm very focused on those things that I want to accomplish. And the list is going to be small this year. It's not going to be an exhaustive list. It's really going to be a small list of things that I can actually accomplish in 2015. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm going to stop talking about it and just start being about it.
There you go.
But like you, I'm a vision board person. I'm definitely very visual. And I believe in the power of vision boards. So I know you and I, we talked prior to the show. You're going to have a vision board party, and I'm trying to get some of my girlfriends together and have a little vision board party. So that'll be exciting. Maybe we can post those on our respective blogs and let people see our completed vision boards, or at least a portion of it in the process.
Yes, I love that. And I know in this month's Essence, that's the one with Kiki, what's her name? Cinderella.
Kiki Palmer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
on the cover. They have a huge section on vision boarding, so I haven't delved into it yet, but probably this weekend I'll get a chance to do that.
Oh, yeah, I had a chance to kind of skim through it. It's a pretty good read. Pretty good read. Just talking about the power of, you know, visualizing your goals.
Mm-hmm.
But now the key to a vision board is that you have to have it visible. So you can't just do it and then tuck it away in the back of your closet.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at it.
Now, do you use what do you use for your vision board? Is it a poster board or what do you use?
Typically, it's just been a dollar store poster board, you know.
Okay.
I do have, and I've been doing this for a while, too, is I have a journal that sometimes I will cut out, you know, certain pictures that support my vision board, and I'll put those in my journal and kind of write about it, too. So I try to have it in multiple places. But I think this year I am going to jazz up my vision board a little bit, and I'm actually going to put it in a frame. So we'll see how that works to make it make it pretty. If I'm going to have it out there, I'm going to make it pretty.
There you go. Yeah, last year I had a cork board. You know, you can buy cork board, and I used that actually, but it wasn't big enough. But that's kind of good. I think if you have it too big, you're trying to do too much.
Absolutely.
That's my personal thing. So I'm learning to work in that frame, that size, and I probably will use it again this year. Except we're doing the party, so I don't know if I'll be able to use my cork board. So we'll see.
Now, are you the type of person that creates just one vision board for everything, or do you have a vision board for certain facets of your life that you want to, you know, kind of work on and improve?
Just one.
Okay.
Just one. Yeah.
Because I was reading, I can't remember if it was in the Essence magazine or if it was another article, but one of the suggestions was to, one of the options, I guess, was to kind of break up your vision board. So let's say, for instance, the three things that you want to work on in, you know, the new year are your professional life, maybe let's say your finances, and let's say fitness. You know, you want to lose some weight or, you know, get in shape or what have you. So instead of having one that encompasses all three of those things, you can have one board for each. So that's another option, too, for people that, you know, want to put together a vision board, and you can do it on a much smaller scale. You know, it doesn't have to be a large poster board. You can do an 8.5 by 11 board if you like. A lot of people I know are using Pinterest to do their vision boards. So that's another option as well. And then also think outside the box. You know, you don't necessarily have to scour through magazines, although that's the fun part of doing the vision board, is to look through the magazines and to cut words and stuff out. But since we're in the age of technology, you know, take advantage of the internet, and you can pull pictures from the internet and print them on your printer, or you can get them printed at, you know, photo processing place, the words, scrapbook material. I try to make mine pretty and jazz it up a little bit. So, you know, I mean, got to be a little extra.
Yeah, you know, because you want to pass it and it grab your attention, not you pass it and be like, oh, that's that damn vision board, you know.
Right. Right.
Some life to it.
Absolutely not. Do your kids participate in vision boarding?
No. You know, Kyle, Lord have mercy, no. He wouldn't. Kalia probably would get into it. I've just never explored it with her. So being that we're going to have a party, she is helping me to prepare. And prepare, I mean, going to magazines and taking out things that people might find of interest. So it may guide her to want to do her own as well.
Right. Yeah, my boys never really were big vision boarders. But you know what? I'm going to try again this year. You know, maybe the moon will be in alignment and, you know.
I don't know. Kyle won't. I can't even see him doing that. But yeah,
I wind up using their boards for something else. Okay, so funny story. So this right before, it was New Year's Eve, actually. I took the kids out shopping because, you know, they got money for Christmas, and it was burning a hole in their pocket. So we went to an outlet mall that's, you know, not far from us, and decided to stop into Bath & Body Works to get some smell goods. And, you know, of course, they had their end-of-the-year annual sale, so it was, you know, my time to pick up, you know, my favorite hand soaps, et cetera. And this is the first time that I took my little mini-me in with me, and oh my gosh, her eyes lit up, and she wanted to smell and try everything. So I bought her, I told her that she needed some new hand sanitizers, so she, you know, picked up some hand sanitizers and a new holder for her book bag, and she wanted to buy some lotion. So I told her, you know, we'll get the lotion, the body, the soap, and the spray, because she wanted some perfume. And when I tell you, I have created a monster. Now, the scent that we got is sweet pea, and it smells divine. You know,
yeah.
It's girly enough for a little five-year-old. So I walk out the store, and she says in the loudest voice possible, "I'm going to be the best-smelling kindergartner in my class." But I don't think that the stuff that we bought is going to last, because every time she leaves her bathroom, we get a whiff, hit by a cloud of sweet pea fragrance. So.
Oh, well, at least, hey, that's important to her. That's a good thing.
I know. It kind of reminds me of when I bought Axe body spray for the boy.
Yes.
And we talk about how less is more.
Girl, would they choke you with it? Oh, my Lord, they would choke you.
Just nothing but Axe. Nothing but Axe.
They get out the car and it's still in the car.
Oh, girl, yes. Like you said, it's a cloud of smoke. Reminds me of, what is the Charlie Brown character, Pigpen? Remember how he used to walk in the dust cloud? It's an Axe cloud everywhere.
Oh, my God. Yes, girl.
So, in the news, Chris Rock and his wife, Malik Compton Rock, have decided to call it quits after 20 years, girl. Talk about surprise.
Yeah, that's a long time to be married, to
it
not
is.
Be married a year.
It is. So... were you surprised by that?
I was. Apparently, they had been separated for 6 months already, which hadn't hit the news. So, you know, the divorce just seemed like it came out of nowhere, the filing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, and they always appear to be a pretty happy couple. She's successful on many levels. He's successful, and... you know what I really think it is with them? Because they're reporting that he said, I just don't want to be married anymore. I'm like, you know, when is that T-shirt going to go viral? But I think that he likes the spotlight and she not so much. Because, you know, he's saying that she's keeping the children away from him, and her response to that is, I'm not keeping them away from you. I'm trying to keep them out of the media and, you know, being paparazzied and all of those things. So I think, you know, that might be the issue. He loves the fame and she's not so much. I don't know. That's the outside looking in.
Yeah, but you know what? So here's the thing, though. When you are a celebrity and, you know, you get married and you have kids, one of the byproducts of that celebrityism is, you know, being viewed in the public eye, you know, being in the public eye. And even though their spouse and their children didn't sign up for it, it happens. You know, you're it's almost like, you know, like guilty by association. You know, you're a celebrity by association.
Uh-huh.
So for her, you know, I get it. She doesn't want them, you know, to be, you know, in the public eye. I get that. But how do you, I don't know, how do you prevent the dad from seeing the kids because of that? I don't think you can use that as a reason.
Right. You can't. You know, I understand her not them wanting to be in a media circus. I get that. But they're his children, so he has the right to see them. Yeah. Now, the other interesting thing I read was they did have had a prenup when they got married, but there was something called a sunset provision, meaning that the prenup had an expiration date if they were married for X amount of time. So, and he's already, you know, like, she can get a job. I don't need to support her. She is well able to work. So this is, it's going to get ugly before it gets pretty.
Right. Well, you know, I'll say this. She, after 20 years, she deserves half.
Okay.
I mean, you know, she deserves half. Let's just call it what it is. Up for those 20 years, she needs to get half of everything that they have acquired together as a couple.
Now, so, let me ask
long
Erica,
pay up.
Do you think it's interesting that this is happening right when his movie is being released? Now, he has not released the movie. He really hasn't been relevant, I'd say, in, I don't know, 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden the movie comes out, he's getting a divorce. I smell a little thing on the side. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm. You know what? I didn't even think about that. I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe we need to look into that. Hmm, who's that? Well, Gabrielle Union, she married, so we can't.
She married. Not her. Not going to be her.
We can't say it's her. Who else is in the movie that's single? It's
Taraji. Every black person in the world. I don't know if Taraji is in it. I haven't. I was going to go see it, but I couldn't get either of the kids to go with me. Kyle's response was, what is the movie about? Just, you know, being black people being in the movie. And I couldn't answer because I really didn't know what it was about. So it's a lot of people in it. But we'll have to do some further investigating.
We'll have to. Speaking of movies, over the holiday season, I took my daughter to go see Annie.
Yay.
And it was a really good movie. Now, I had the opportunity when I was little to see the stage play Annie. So this is before, you know, the movie. And I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. Tomorrow was like my favorite song. I wanted to be a little redhead girl with a redhead dress and had a dog named Sandy. But I didn't know what to expect with this version of Annie, you know. And I was pleasantly surprised. Sylvanzane, she did an awesome job. That's the little girl who plays Annie. You may know her from the movie Beast of the Southern Wild. She did an amazing job. Jamie Foxx did a really good job. Cameron Diaz did a good job. It was just a really good movie. The music was good. It was great. And it was a modern Annie, which I really liked.
Well, I have heard that from so many people. I was, you know, I don't have a small girl. She's 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, I, like you, went to see the play when I was in school. It was like a field trip that we went on and loved it, absolutely loved it. But I was, you know, 9, maybe 10 at the time. So I didn't think she would be as interested. But she said she wanted to see it because Jamie Foxx is in it. So maybe we'll have to go check it out. But is it a musical all the way through?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so
okay,
it stays
like
very
it
true. You know, you said she will like it?
No, she won't. She's not a musical kind of girl.
it stays very true to the stage play.
Okay.
So, But like I said, it's modern. So she may like it because the music is very 2014, 2015. You know, it's the music is very current. So even, you know, Hard Knock Life and Tomorrow is modernized.
Okay, is it Jay-Z's Hard Knock Life?
No, it's not Jay-Z's Hard Knock Life, but he did produce the music, so it's definitely it's a G-rated Hard Knock Life, but it is current in terms of its arrangement.
Okay. Well, I'm going to check it out.
And I didn't know that Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith produced it. This is their baby.
I think I'd heard that, but mm-hmm. I will say during all the hubbub on it, all the publicity, I haven't heard anything about them being the producer. This was very early on when I heard about that, when I found out mm-hmm. the movie was being made.
Okay.
So, good. Look at them. Look at them.
Good.
Black Hollywood, girl. I love it.
I love it, too. But, okay, so now let's talk about this whole controversy with Target. Girl, so bring us up to speed on Target. What is Target has been in the news lately because of their Annie ads.
Target is pissing off customers, girl. Annie originally, of course, was played by a non-African-American, and now Kwanzaa-Mae Wells, or the Walls, is in the role, and Target has a clothing line, and in the advertising for the clothing line, used a non-African-American to promote it, not saying that there weren't African-Americans in the actual ads, but the Annie character was a model that was used that was Caucasian. So it made a lot of people mad. Apparently there's a mom, her name is LaShawn Renike, who is multiracial, and I'm sorry, her daughter is multiracial, and when they went into the store, the daughter saw the ad and said, well, she doesn't look like Annie, and why isn't a black Annie good enough for them to have in their ad? That's what her daughter said. So she started a change.org campaign. Over 10,000 people have signed it in retaliation to the ad. But I'm going to be honest, I didn't know if it was in retaliation to the racial divide or the actual clothing line because it is butt ugly. I would never want my child to wear anything from this clothing line. It is ugly. So I don't know. But, you know, it's just not a good time with all the other racial things that are going on in the country for this to happen. Target, though, was unapologetic because they said this is a limited release and the ads actually probably are going to be coming down, I think, within the next week or so. They'd reached out to Kwanzaa-Mae and asked her to be part of it, but it didn't work out is what their rep is saying, which confuses me because if you're in a major motion picture, and that's a pretty major thing, it kind of is like it just falls in line that those are the things you have to do. Be part of ads, do commercials. So I'm kind of questionable on that. One quote I did want to share from the change.org site was somebody was quoting and saying, being African-American is not ugly. It is not bad, and we are sellable, the petition says. These grossly misleading ads are adding to the divide and does not give young African-American girls aspiring to become actors anything to be optimistic about. I understand their point of view, but at the end of the day, it's Target's line. So, you know, they could do what they want to do. Should they have used an African-American girl? I guess. But Annie did originally start out as being Caucasian.
Well, but do you think Target, they missed a great opportunity to do some inclusion? Because in the movie, you know, all ethnicities were represented. I think maybe not all, but it was a multicultural cast. It wasn't a black movie. It was a movie. So I just think that Target missed a really great opportunity. And if they had the clothing line for the movie Annie, and they should have taken advantage of that and maybe had a diverse cast of people in the clothes. So maybe you could have had a little black girl, a little white girl, a little Asian girl. You know, I'm thinking like almost in the lines of United Colors of Bennington, those ads back in the day when you had people of different ethnicities wearing the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would have been
an
opportunity for them to do something, you know, that was inclusive.
Somebody probably dropped the ball.
You know what? I do. I think that they just kind of missed the mark. And I'll be very honest with you. I'm an avid Target shopper, and I didn't pay not 2 cents attention to the advertisement. And, you know, maybe shame on me for not paying attention to it. I just think that, you know, Target had an opportunity to really do, you know, something that was powerful maybe in a very subtle way. Like you said, in light of all of the racial tension that's going on, you know, in the country right now. So,
yeah. Now, this was the second time this year that I know of that somebody has done a major boycott against them, though, because of their clothing line. There's a plus-size blogger by the name of Garner Style who staged a boycott maybe back in the summer because there was a line that came out. I think it was Alterez. And when she saw the line, because she's a pretty large, when I say large, I mean following blogger, I think she got a preview of the line, and she was looking through it and, of course, noticed that they didn't carry anything above a size 12. She probably wears a 26. And she staged a boycott saying, you know, I shop there all the time. I'm in love with you. I, you know, go in, I think I'm going to buy one thing, and I get a whole cart of stuff, and this is the disrespect that you give me by not even offering, you know, gorgeous things in my size. So, you know, at first I was behind that because I'm a plus-size girl, and at times, I don't know about you, but there are things that I do buy at Target to wear, especially casual clothes. So I was like, you know, I'm all for it. I'm going to boycott it. But, girl, it's hard to boycott Target. They got everything.
But you know what? Okay, so now let's talk about that for a second. Can one store be all things to everybody? You know, I think that, you know, yes, it would be nice if they had sizes that, you know, accommodated everybody. But is that realistic? And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Target, you know, they have to make business decisions and take a look at, you know, who are the majority of their customers? You know, what size range do they fit in? And maybe they don't have a lot of customers that are, you know, 5'26", and maybe that's not the market that they're trying to be in. And that's why you have specialty stores. I mean, cause the same thing can be said for people who are extremely tall or have big feet or, you know, who have, you know, big boobs or big butts, you know. So I think at some point, you know, we just have to say there's some things that we're not going to be able to purchase from there, and that's okay because there are other stores that accommodate my needs, and I'm just going to, you know, buy my clothes from that store. So something I do, the thing that I did like is that there was another blog, and I thought you were going to go in the direction with the story that you were just telling. She did the same thing with the shorts. For little girls, she noticed that the shorts for little girls were cut much shorter than the shorts for little boys. And, you know, it was, you know, she didn't want her, you know, 6-year-old butt cheeks hanging out. You know, to her that wasn't cute. And I can't, you have shorts that, you know, come to the thigh. So she actually wrote an open letter, I want to say, to Target, and they actually reached out and responded to her. Now, she wasn't trying to boycott them or anything. It was just, you know, a parent question as to, you know, why is it that when I buy my son's shorts, you know, they hit above the knee, but then when I wear, you know, buy my daughter some shorts, it was like panties.
Yeah, you know what? That's a universal problem, though, I think. It's not just Target. Yeah, I can remember being at Kohl's a few years ago and overheard a lady talking with her daughter trying to find just some clothes to wear for the summer. And her thing to her daughter was, it's so hard to find clothes because they want you guys to dress like little whores. And, I mean, her daughter was probably 12, 13 years old. But when you looked at the selection, I don't know if it's, as an adult I would want to wear some of that stuff.
Right. You're right. I mean, they do. They have that is so true. You know, even when I look at, you know, clothes for my daughter, I want her to look like a little girl, not like a little adult.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be, and you know, that's one thing I'm just very mindful when I'm going out shopping for her. You know, I need to buy her clothes that, you know, reflect a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Little girl cuts, little girl colors, but you know what? Everything is skinny jeans, leggings, you know.
Yep.
The whole
everything. Thing. Mm-hmm. That look.
Everything. So let's talk about a little rest of TV for a second. So Sorority Sisters aired on VH1 right before the holiday, and it caused an uproar. And I was one of those women. I am proudly in one of the sororities depicted.
Mm-hmm.
And when word came out that Mona Scott Young was, you know, doing a show following Sorority Sisters, I immediately signed the online petition against it because it's just not a good look. It's not a good look. And I knew, because she is the queen of Ratchet TV, that the women depicted in the TV show would not, it wouldn't be good. And we thought that we had won the battle. However, we lost it because VH1 decided whether Mona Scott Young was going to be a part of it or not, we were going to go ahead and forward. So I watched the first episode, I tried to watch the first episode, and just the ratchetness was unbelievable. Yeah. Now, I thought it was going to follow young women who are in college, but these are grown women.
I don't think any of them were in college. Everybody was out of college.
Girl, look, they old like us.
Right. Acting ratchet.
These grown women.
So, you know, as a non-Greek, I know tons of women that are in sororities. And so I'm watching it, cringing, thinking, if I was a, I don't know, 20-year-old or 18-year-old on campus, and I was thinking of pledging in a sorority, this would really make me think twice. Because if this is, you know, what I have to look forward to, being catty and going to parties, and it was just ridiculous, Erica. It was worse than Love and Hip Hop, and I honestly never thought anything could be worse than that.
Would you say it's worse than Love and Hip Hop? I don't watch Love and Hip Hop, so I can't. I don't have anything to compare it to. But it is pretty bad. And I think the thing that really bothered me the most is that for all the good that each of the sororities do within the community, this portrayal of, you know, what sorority women are about just kind of overshadows all the good that's being done. And that's the really sad part about it.
Even the only positive that I did see was there was a young lady, and I don't remember what sorority she was. I think she was a Delta, and she had a dream of some kind of entertainment industry, being a dancer or a singer or something. And because she followed that dream, kind of is in a financial situation, is a single mom, has a child, her sorority sister is letting her live at her place, and she was having a conversation with one of her or other sorority sisters about supporting her. But even in that moment, the ratchetness of the conversation was just so putrid. It just made you think, do women talk to each other this way? And why are they, you know, making it seem like this is how the sororities deal with each other? It was just bad. And so I do the Tequila Talk Tuesday thing, and I put it out there. I got a lot of response back, but one of the ones I want to share with you is from one of the people on Instagram. Her name is Diva Mama Sita. She said, can't watch, won't watch, But I know that if these women are ratchet, it's not because of their sorority affiliation. It's just because they're ratchet. So
that's true.
It doesn't matter. You know, they would, if they were, you know, running for Congress, they would still be ratchet.
That, you know what, that's absolutely true. What I thought was quite interesting, you know, because when, you know, sorority sisters hit or it debuted, you know, there was a lot of chatter on social media, you know, on Twitter. Black Twitter just, you know, ripped it a new butthole.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people were actually reaching out to the advertisers, really saying, you know, how can you support something like this? And a lot of advertisers started to pull out. But what I found most interesting was that a lot of people who were non-Greek, instead of being supportive in the plight to take the TV show down, what a lot of them were doing was criticizing the Black Greek Letter organizations for rallying together to get the show off the air. And a lot of them were saying, you know, you're working so hard to remove this, which, you know, bravo. But what about all the other ratchet TV that's on there? Why aren't you, you know, doing something to get those shows off the air? And, you know, I tried to remain as quiet as possible on social media. That was just one subject that I really didn't want to touch.
Mm-hmm.
But one person in particular, her post, and it didn't really make me mad, but I felt like I had to respond. And what I wanted her to know is that it is not the Black Greek Letter Organization's responsibility to remove all bad TV, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the airway.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we are so passionate about it is because we are trying to protect our brand. We're trying to protect the image of the Black Greek Letter Organizations
mm-hmm.
and preserve all the good that's being done. We worked way too hard and come way
yeah.
too far to let this one show just kind of, you know, negate or, you know, erase everything that we've done positive within the
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also told her that, you know, instead of criticizing or pointing a finger at what these organizations aren't doing, what are you doing to
mm-hmm.
eliminate the Basketball Wives and the Love and Hip Hop, et cetera, you know, to kind of point the finger back and say, you know, instead of criticizing this group for what they're not doing, why not support them in what they're doing and then take it one step further
mm-hmm.
if that's the case. But I do know that one of, you know, I guess you can call her like a breakout star from Love and Hip Hop, Kay Michelle, she actually came under fire too, and I am not a big K. Michelle fan, so let me just say that. And when I found out she was a Delta, I was like, but I did listen to an interview that she did with a local radio station, and
yeah.
I have to say that what she said made sense, and I support her 100%. And I'll just read just a little bit of what she said. She said that I am a Delta. I have acted a fool on TV, but at the same time, I didn't do it with a Delta Sigma Theta tatted on my back in front of people. She goes on further to say, you don't get on TV in the name of women that came before us and do what you're doing, especially at a time when the Black community is struggling so much with things. The sororities and fraternities are the one thing we look to in college to uplift the community. And that is so true. You know, Kay Michelle, if you did not know that she was a Delta, you would not have known that she was a Delta on the show.
That's true. You know, she's very good at hiding stuff because I didn't even know she was a mother.
Oh, girl. And she's a college graduate. You know,
yeah,
so
what college?
She went to FAMU.
Shut the noise. Okay,
yeah,
wow.
She went to FAMU. But I will say this. She used, to me, she's kind of like the breakout star of Love and Hip Hop, just kind of how NeNe Leakes is the breakout star of Real Housewives of Atlanta. She took
mm-hmm.
advantage of the platform. She used it for what it was worth, you know, just like they used her, she used it. And now
mm-hmm.
she was able to secure a record deal. You know, she's gone on tour. She has her own spinoff show. So she knew how to work the system. She took advantage of it, and she was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
you know, some people are just destined for just ratchet TV, and there's always going to be ratchet TV. I think there's always been ratchet TV. Black, white, pink,
mm-hmm.
purple is ratchet TV.
That's interesting.
I thought it was, but yeah.
I don't know if it's been on since then. I'm sure it has been. I have not even attempted to look for it. But I think that if we don't watch it, it will go away. It has no choice but to go away if we don't watch.
I agree. I don't think it's going away, though. I do think that there are people there that are watching it. And, I mean, but you know what? To each his own. You know, I choose not to. So, on to the next. Like, I choose not to watch Love & Hip Hop, but they got Love & Hip Hop LA now. So, you know.
I can't. We can't take all the ratchet TV away, but that's one that just didn't need to be made.
I agree. So talking about in the news, what were your thoughts about the New York Police Department turning their back on the New York mayor, de Blasio, if I'm saying his name right, Bill de Blasio, turning their back on him as he spoke during the recent funeral of two of the slain police officers?
I think it was totally disrespectful. You know, this is hard. This is really hard. This country is going through so much with this racial and police brutality, and it's just a difficult thing. But if we're mature about it, we should be able to get through this. Displays like that show immaturity. They're an officer of the law. You already have a huge distrust factor from people. So why put this negative connotation out there? Why let people see you as not being able to work with somebody? You know what I mean? That's the problem now. We think, and I say we because I say it loosely because I have family members that are police officers, and I understand their side of view, too. But as a society, we're already viewing you as not wanting to work with people, as not being, I won't say friendly because an officer shouldn't be friendly, but, you know, it's like our way or the highway. So why do something like this to make us even further believe that? So I just think it was disrespectful. I honestly don't even know what de Blasio said that got them pissed off. I kind of get an idea of what happened, but I thought it was disrespectful. Now, I did see one picture where there were officers standing. They turned their back, but there was one African-American officer that refused to do it. So I'm going to say kudos to him this morning.
Yeah. He, from what I understand, the NYPD, they're upset with de Blasio because of some responses or remarks that he made regarding the protesting after the officer who, you know, was, I can't even say that he was indicted, but, you know, the grand jury decided that there was not enough evidence to indict this man of murder. You know, he spoke about, you know, the people protesting, and he went on to say, you know, that he had to have a conversation, you know, with his son, his teenage son, about, you know, what he should do and how he should act if he's stopped by police. Now, for those who aren't familiar, de Blasio is a white man who is married to a black woman, and they have biracial children. So, and his son wears his Afro proud. So if you were to see him on the street, you would think that he's just a fair-complected black kid. So, you know, unfortunately, this man had to, you know, he sees the racism in the world. You know, he is not looking through rose-colored glasses when he looks at race relations because his wife and his children are living it. And when he was talking about the protesters who were being arrested and charged with assaulting police officers during the demonstration in New York, he used the word allegedly. And then some police officers took offense to that. You know, if we arrested them, you know, you're supposed to back us no matter what. And, I think it's that it's that statement, you know, that he said that they were allegedly doing these things that really kind of ticked NYPD, the officers off. And I think this is one of those situations where, you know, we're going to have to agree to disagree, and then we're going to have to handle it with some sensitivity. And I think what's really going to happen is that the police officers in New York, because they have a long history of this type of action, of racial profiling and of killing innocent, you know, black men, that, you know, you're going to have to look internally and say, hey, look, you know what, we do have some rotten apples in this barrel. That's not to say that all the apples are rotten, but we do. And, you know, we're working hard to, you know, to correct it. To say that, you know, you should support us no matter what, I don't agree. Because, you know, just like you, Robin, I have family members who are police officers. I have friends who are police officers, and they're good officers. But I don't think that they can say without a doubt that there aren't bad officers out there that do things like this, because they would be lying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They definitely would be lying, especially in New York.
Girl.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, it's just, it's very unfortunate. I think that it further divides, you know, us, which is not good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully some progress can be made. I can't say some good can come out of it, but I just hope that some progress can be made. It's going to be a while. But talking further about the whole I Can't Breathe band, what about the basketball team or the high school in California? I think it was Mendocino, if I'm not putting saying it correctly, their high school basketball teams, actually both the boys and the girls basketball teams, they were banned from participating in a tournament at Fort Bragg High School. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I know the boys were able to participate because all but one agreed not to wear the I Can't Breathe t-shirts, but there weren't enough girls on the basketball team to agree to not wear their I Can't Breathe t-shirts.
Right.
And they were banned. Now, the principal at Fort Bragg High School, she issued a written statement, and she said that the school administration respected the Mendocino teams for paying attention to what's going on in the world around them, and that the t-shirts were being prohibited as a security precaution. She further goes on to say, to protect the safety and well-being of all tournament participants, it is necessary to ensure that all political statements and or protests are kept away from this tournament. She further went on to say that we are a small school district that simply does not have the resources to ensure the safety and well-being of our staff, students, and guests at the tournament should someone get upset and choose to act out. Okay.
Damn,
I have an issue with that.
Because every tournament I go to, there's security.
Mm-hmm.
So if one person is going to act out, security can handle them. I'm sorry. That's crap.
Yeah.
That's crap.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
I was just going to say, at what point do we have free speech? What point are we able to express ourselves non-confrontationally and be heard?
I agree. I guess I would say it like this. It was a silent protest. They had the t-shirts on. A lot of professional athletes have been wearing the t-shirts during warm-ups. No one has said anything, really, to be honest with you. It is their opportunity to say silently that they support, you know, the protests that are going on, and that it affects them, and that change needs to come. And I think that if, you know, these pro athletes are able to do this, and I think the kids should be able to do this too. And I agree with you. I think I was okay with it. I was kind of like, okay, well, you know what, if that's their rule, that's their rule, and I get it. But when she went on to state the reason why, and especially that last statement when she said that, you know, they don't have the resources to ensure the safety. Okay, now I'm concerned because if you don't have the resources to ensure the safety of everybody, then why are you even having the tournament? Because
the tournament
can pop off without them wearing these T-shirts? You know, what if kids get into a fight? Or what if parents get into a fight? So,
yeah, or, Erica, what if somebody walked in and had the shirt on that was a bystander that was just watching the game? What are you going to tell that person they can't come in? No, because you took their money. Are you going to let them come in? It's just crap. Yeah. You know, I don't know. A friend of mine on social media said if that would have been her team, she would have pulled them from the tournament and went to the game and wore the shirts. So, I don't know. Any display of non-confrontational freedom of speech should be applauded. I mean, there's enough negative stuff, looting, shooting, robbing, all that going on, that if these young men want to take a stand and use their platform, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. Now, I do want to say this, though, and I thought this was very interesting, is that the student bodies at the two schools, when you look at the breakdown, 1% black, 50%
white. How much
white,
percent?
1% Ooh. Black. 50% of the student body is white.
And the rest
are Mexican. 41% are Hispanic. Now, that's at Fort Bragg, so that's at the school that was hosting the tournament that said you can't wear these shirts. When you look at Mendocino, the school that, you know, they were concerned about, 75% of their student body is white and 9% is Hispanic. What does that tell you about, you know, these are non-African-American kids who see that this is not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that what we need to, you know, see and understand is that, yes, it's a race issue, but it's bigger than just black. Everybody sees that what is going on is not right and something needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just thought that was pretty interesting. And you know what? And I applaud these kids for, you know, taking a stand for what they believe in and for doing it peacefully.
Yes, because it could definitely have been done in another manner. And I
Absolutely.
Think that doing things like this, like denying them that opportunity, makes them, that fuels their fire, not necessarily these kids, but some kids to do it the wrong way now, because you've now not allowed me to use a platform that I have, that I work hard at, you know, and you've taken that away. So now I'm going to be a little pissed off about that. So, she definitely didn't handle it right. Now, she is also saying she's just the mouthpiece for this. This actually came from the actual school board, but she was the one that had to issue the statement. Whatever.
It could be.
I don't know how the boys did in the tournament. I hope they kicked butt.
Right. I mean, and you know what? She could very well be telling the truth. You know, she's probably just a messenger. Maybe she, you know, agrees with it, but, you know, she has to abide by the rules that are, you know, set in place. So, I mean, maybe so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know. But I do applaud these kids for taking a stand.
I do. Yeah. Good job, fellas. And ladies and fellas, I can't forget about the lady ballers. Now, Erica, I don't know if you've seen these new Friday night hashtag things or phenomenons that are going on. I was on Twitter last night, and I am rarely on Twitter anymore, but I was on last night, and Robina Lee, who is one of the actresses from, what's that show on BET with Gabrielle Union?
Oh,
the
Being
one
Mary
you
don't Jane.
Like. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Being
Mary Jane.
Yeah. She's one of the actresses on there, and she posted something. She forwarded a post or retweeted a post called Friday Night British Booze. And so when you search under the hashtag, there were women that showed men that were British and or even there were some females as well, because I think there were some males posting that they thought were attractive. So there were people like Colin Firth, Christian Bale, Hugh Grant, and, of course, Idris Elba. So as I delve further into this, I saw that every Friday night is boo night. So they've had Latino boos. They've had black boos. So I am intrigued to see next week – what is going to be the hashtag for Boo Night? You'll definitely
Boo
put a smile
night.
On your face, ladies. Definitely put a
I'm
smile
have
on
to
your face.
I'm going to have to go on Twitter so I can follow the Boo Night.
Now, in contrast to this, Instagram has had a hashtag for the past month or so. I don't know, it could be longer, which is just vulgar. Mm-hmm. And it's called hashtag Eggplant Fridays is what it's called. So hashtag Eggplant Fridays. And basically it's pictures of men flaunting their concealed eggplants, if you will.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, and I made the unfortunate mistake of clicking on it. And there are even some that aren't clothed on there as well, which I thought was really interesting because I thought Instagram had a strict nudity guideline or policy that they will not allow.
I believe they do.
On the site.
I believe they do, and I'm sure that those pictures will be taken down immediately. It's probably one of those
sure.
Once we, you know, as soon as we get it, we need to take it down.
Yeah, I don't know, girl, but it's been up there for about a good month.
I'm going to have to go check that out and see. Maybe we'll have to report it to the Instagram police. Hey, you know what? I don't even want to go look at it.
You don't.
No,
thank you. When I hit it, I was like, oh, I didn't mean to hit this. I really, wow.
Oh, my goodness. You're like, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty disgusting.
No,
so,
thank you.
Social media.
Thank you. Okay. Got to love it. Gotta love it. Well, we are at the 9 o'clock hour. It has been great. We are finally back.
Yay!
So, Robin, let everybody know, I guess before we end our first show of the new year, let everyone know how they can keep up with you in the meantime and in between time.
If you follow me on Instagram at Curvy Momager, you'll see everything that I have going on. You'll be able to get the links to my blog, to my Facebook page. All my social media is there. I am extremely active on Instagram, so that's the best place to catch me. But I'm all over, girl. I'm here all week.
All over. So what's in store for the Curvy Momager in 2015? What you got going on, girl? What can we expect?
That vision board life.
Okay.
You know, I have a lot of things that I really want to accomplish, and I don't want to say a lot. There's 3 to 4 key things, but last year I started the T-shirt line, and that went over very well, especially with my local Bakersfield moms. And it's expanded to other states, other cities. So doing that, the T-shirt line is a real goal and starting to get that out a little bit more. And then focusing on just some new projects. This month I am doing, like you said, a vision board party with a couple of other ladies here in Bakersfield. And I've linked up with 2 ladies that want to do events every month. So we'll be busy doing that. And man, you know, I got this basketball star here in my house. So, and this is something we'll share on another show. We had a setback this year with basketball. So, you know, it's just kind of rebuilding that, making sure his confidence is up and, you know, just being the momager in this role. So we'll talk about that on another show. And then with my little baker I have in the house, we're going to have a section of on the blog for her every month. So look for that. It's going to be called She Did That. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Oh, I like that.
About it. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, we can't
How about
wait
you?
To. Oh, well, what about me?
What about
just girl, cocktails and conversation, girl. We're doing it big. We're doing it big. Later on this month, we're going to launch Cocktails and Convo TV so you can catch Robin and I live once a month on air. We'll do a Google Hangout and we'll talk about hot topics and, you know, just stuff that's on our mind because that's what we do best.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I, just like you, Robin, I'm active more on Instagram than I would say Twitter. I'm still trying to work this whole Twitter thing out. The 140 characters is what gets me. But I'm trying. People, everybody, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at cocktail_Erica. More active, like I said, on Instagram, but I am on Twitter. And for 2015, just big things, big things. We're going to continue the Hello Gorgeous series, so I'm excited about that. Got some great guests lined up for that. And girls, look, just keep doing what I do, building my empire. One Instagram right. photo and Facebook post at a time.
At a time, girl. One high heel at a time. That's how I say it, yes.
One high heel at a time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a pleasure reconnecting with you guys. I promise you next week we'll have some new intro music. You know, mama trying to juggle. I got too many balls in the air. I can't juggle them all. But we will catch you same time, same place next week. Have a great weekend and a great week, everyone. And we'll talk to you next Saturday, 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Take care.
Goodbye. Bye.